إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone. And that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session dealing with the topic of at-tawakkul, that is to have trust, dependence and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in all of our affairs. And this topic is from our noble Shaykh, Al-Allama Salih ibn Fawzan ibn Abdullah Ali Fawzan, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Before we go into the topic for tonight, which is going to be primarily dealing with the definition or definitions of at-tawakkul, yani what exactly is at-tawakkul. Before we go into that topic, we like to, as we normally do, review some of the topics that we discussed in the first session, in the previous session, from questionnaire study guide number one. The first question being, or the first few questions are dealing with, the brief, very, very brief biography of the author. And I guess it is worth mentioning that normally we start with a biography of the author so that we are reminded, even if we already know, of the station and the status of the scholars in general and the particular scholar whose book we are reading from, so that we can comprehend and appreciate the value of knowledge that comes from real scholars. So that being said, the first question mentioned the author, rahimahullah's name and place and date of birth. Name? Naam, Mustafa.
His name, Shaykh Salih ibn Fawzan ibn Abdullah
Ali al-Fawzan. His place of birth. Naam, Fal. Shamasiya. And Qasim, the region of Qasim in Saudi Arabia. Naam. And his date of birth. Naam, ya Musa. 1933. Anybody know what year it was in the Hijri calendar?
It's 1354.
1354. And we said last week that his age now is what?
88.
And that's not a light matter. The oldest person sitting in this room right now is about 10 years younger than him. We're not going to identify who he is. Somebody older than me. MashaAllah. May Allah protect and preserve you.
Amen.
All of us. Question number two mentioned three of the author's, rahimahullah's, most famous teachers. Three of his most important teachers. Naam, Adil.
Sheikh Abdul Aziz Abdullah.
Naam, Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, one of the imams of this era, that indeed is an imam in knowledge as well as in worship and character and manners and da'wah, in however way you want to look at it. May Allah and He reward him. And may Allah forgive yani his shortcomings and raise his station in the next life to the highest place, Jannatul Firdaws. After him, another one of the teachers,
Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti.
Sheikh al-Imam Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti. Yani one of the foremost scholars of tafsir in this era, if not the foremost. Now, may Allah have mercy upon him. Another?
Sheikh Abdullah ibn Humayd.
Sheikh Abdullah ibn Humayd, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. Also, Naam Abdul Wali. Sheikh Abdul Razak Afifi, rahimahullah. And the Sheikh had many teachers. These are just any example. Perhaps it would be of benefit that we actually go back and read the biographies of some of these, some of his teachers, their biographies as well, which are tremendous. Question number three, mention three of the author, rahimahullah's most important books. Three of his most important books. Either books that he wrote commentaries on or that he wrote himself. Now, Talib. Explanation of the things that nullify a person's Islam, Nawakhid Islam. This is a tremendous, very, very important book itself. And all of the explanations that I have read of it are all beneficial. His being one of them. Naam. Naam. Aqidat al-Tawheed. Naam. Otherwise, another?
Shar.
Usul al-Thalatha wa Thalathat al-Usul. Naam. Shar al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyya. Abdul Wali. Usul al-Sitta. Shar usul al-Sitta. And he made the explanations for a lot, many of the books of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, all of them being valuable, really, really important books. I mean, these books, though they may be small in size, the original books, Thalathat al-Usul, Al-Qawaid al-Arba', Usul al-Sitta, Nawaat al-Islam, even though these books basically are small books in size, the text of these books, but the explanations are extremely valuable, and they are worthy of our attention. Question number four, mention something about the author, rahimahullah's higher education after high school. And after he graduated from the Ma'had al-Ilmi, what was his higher education? Where?
He joined the Muhammad bin Saud.
Muhammad bin Saud, Islamia University in Riyadh. And he graduated from the Kulliya Sharia, the College of Sharia. And then after that, as well in the same area of study, he also attained his master's degree and his PhD degree. After this, question number five, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And in Allah put your trust if you're believers. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, 23rd ayah, points to an important relationship between tawakkul and iman. Explain. What is the relationship pointed out in this particular ayah? Now, Adil.
Allah makes a tawakkul an obligation of iman.
Okay, indeed it is an obligation. But there's something a little bit more obvious or more important in this ayah in the words, in kuntum mu'mineen. Now, Musa. Naam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the condition of for the validity of a person's iman that they rely totally upon Allah. Tawakkul ala Allah. This is a shart, shart al-iman. It is a condition for the validity of a person's iman. A person's iman is not valid without this. So this is extremely, extremely important. Question number six, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Yani, then when you have taken a decision, you have made a firm resolve to do something, put your trust in Allah. This is in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 159th Ayat. This ayat shows the importance of tawakkul. Explain. In this particular ayat, when Allah says, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. What is understood from these words? فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Ya Abdul Wali. Okay, no doubt. You gave us about four important statements. That tawakkul is a part of the iman, the person doesn't have tawakkul. But in the ayat, the wording of the ayat, the from linguistic perspective, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَا إِبْرَهِيمُ. Al-Amr. Al-Amr. This is Al-Amr. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when you make a decision, when you make firm resolve to do something, then Allah is ordering that you must put your trust in Allah. Then put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this indicates that at-tawakkul ala Allah is from the fara'id, yani of those things that are obligatory, of those things that are mandatory. Question number seven. Explain how some scholars described the manzila, the high station of tawakkul in this deen. يا مصطفى. يعني التوكل, its relation to the deen is like the relation of the head to the body. So whoever doesn't have tawakkul doesn't have any deen. What else did he say? Ya Musa? Naam. Tawakkul, yani its relation to the deen is the relationship of the head to the body. And it's well known, as the Shaykh said, that the body, if it loses the head, it doesn't have any life. And likewise, the deen without tawakkul is not, it doesn't have any siha. Yani it's not valid. It's not correct. It's not authentic. It's not accepted. The last question discussed the author's division of people into three categories as it relates to tawakkul ala Allah. And he mentioned the people into three categories. A talib, naam. Kafir, mushrik, and mu'min, muwahid. So the kafir is which one? Ya Musa? Whoever didn't put their trust in Allah, aslan. And here I want to just draw to our attention that the word aslan here hasn't been translated in the translation. The meaning here is that the one who didn't put their trust in Allah at all, no tawakkul ala Allah, that person is a kafir. And the one who is a mushrik, he said what? Nah, Muhammad Ali. Yes, we didn't hear from you. The one who puts trust in Allah and they put their trust, their dependence in other than Allah. Then he said this one is a mushrik. And the one who is the mu'min, muwahid, is the one who obviously puts their trust in Allah alone and in no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some of the points that we covered last week. Tonight, inshallah, the topic, yani the heading here is ma'na at-tawakkul ala Allah. Ma'na at-tawakkul ala Allah. The meaning of at-tawakkul ala Allah. And last week at the end of the class, I mentioned that this week, inshallah, in addition to the definition that the Shaykh gave, that we're also going to refer to the definition of Al-Imam Al-Sa'di in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. Actually, when I went back, then I also realized that it was a very important definition from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen that I always felt was one of the best definitions of at-tawakkul in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. And then I went further, I looked in other explanations of Kitab al-Tawheed, and I found that even the author, yani, the Shaykh, Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he also gave some additional comments, yani, related to the definition of at-tawakkul. And I thought that it is worthy that we look at each of them and compare them and try to benefit from what each of them said that may be additional information or clarification of at-tawakkul. Because this topic is so important that we can't any spend enough time with it. And this essay is very brief. So the Shaykh, yani Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he gave a brief definition because the intent behind this yani essay is that it's brief. He's just trying to go into it yani briefly to give the overall view of what is tawakkul. So inshallah, I'm going to take a few extra minutes to look at some of the other definitions that we found from the scholars talking about at-tawakkul. So first we read from the book. Today we're reading in English from page 13. In the English translation, we're reading from page 13. The meaning of tawakkul. Huh? Oh, 19. Sorry, 19. My hearing is bad. Allahu musta'an. In Arabic, we're reading from page 267. Page 267. So, the author, rahimahullah, says, At-tawakkul ala Allah ma'anahu tafweed al-umur ilayhi. Wal-i'timadu عليه سبحانه وتعالى في جميع أموره وتفويض أموره إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى بحيث لا يلتفت إلى غيره. So this is the basic definition of what he said concerning التوكل. التوكل على الله, its meaning is تفويض الأمور إليه. يعني that is that a person entrusts all of their affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tafweed al-umur, that a person gives it over to Allah. Yani, they let him be in total control and charge of their affair. They say, I can't do anything with this. I'm giving it to Allah. Tafweed al-umur ilayhi. وَالْإِعْتِمَادُ عَلَيْهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي جَمِيعُ أُمُورِهِ. And additionally, الْإِعْتِمَاد, يعني to have dependence or reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of his affairs. So these are two words that he used, التَّفْوِيد and الْإِعْتِمَاد. التَّفْوِيد, to give over one's affairs to Allah, to leave it to Allah. And الْإِعْتِمَاد, and then to depend totally upon him. And not like, I give you something to take care of for me, and then I don't really depend on you. I send somebody else also to follow up and make sure that it gets done. No, you give your affairs to Allah, and then you depend on Him alone in every affair. And then he added to that, وَالتَّفْوِيدُ أُمُورِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِحَيْثُ لَا يَلْتَفِتُ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. And this tafweed, or entrusting one's affairs to Allah, should be such that the person, after they give it to Allah to take care of their affair, to dispose of their affair, they don't look to anyone else. Yani, they don't even think about anyone else helping. Yani, Allah is sufficient. So if we can reflect upon what he said here, and actually begin to look at ourselves in an attempt to actualize, to materialize, to exemplify this meaning in our individual lives, then this will be, yani, a tremendous benefit. Yani, that we decide consciously, willingly, knowingly, to leave our affairs to Allah, and to depend upon Him, to take care of those affairs, and not to look to anybody else. I don't need backup. I don't need to have a second backup plan. You know, like normally when you're going to do something important, if you're smart, you're going to have a backup plan. If this doesn't work, I have another plan. I have other options. I know that's how I do it. I'm always looking for other options. But when you turn the affair to Allah, you don't need to look to anyone else. You don't need to look to anything else. But rather, you give your, yani, you make your reliance and your dependence on Allah alone. Then the Shaykh says, فَالتَّوَقُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَكُونُ فِي أُمُورِ الْإِعْتِقَادِ بِحَيْثُ لَا يَلْتَفِتُ الْعَبْدُ بِقَلْبِهِ إِلَى غَيْرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. فَيَكُونُ دَائِمًا مُعْتَمِدًا عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مُفَوِّضًا أَمْرَهُ إِلَيْهِ فِي جَمِيعِ شُؤُونِهِ. Here the Shaykh, he says, and here he's going to mention one of two things, two general categories. The second one is going to come much later down. That's why I want to mention it now, so it's, we have in our mind that he's saying, التَّوَقُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَكُونُ فِي أُمُورِ الْإِعْتِقَادِ. Yani, that putting your trust in Allah, depending upon Allah, is in two general areas. The first he mentions here, that is in umur al-i'tiqad, yani in the matters related to your convictions, yani what you believe in. And here, in other places, yani as we read along, we'll see that the Shaykh described it in some places as umur al-deen, and in other places he described it as umur al-aqidah wa tawheed. And all of this is referring to the same thing. Yani, that you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reference to the matters of your deen, your worship of Allah, your belief, your convictions. Yani, what you believe in, your worship, your actions, the matters related to your deen, all of that, yani, you depend on Allah for them. Yani, you depend on Allah to, as we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Yani, that we have declared that we're going to worship you alone, but we also are seeking help from you alone. Help, assistance, aid, support, to be able to execute that worship. So this is one area in which the tawakkul is directed. To your religious affairs, to your worship, to your aqidah. Yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that you depend upon. That those things will be correct, and that they will be right, and that they will be valid, and that Allah will accept them. You are depending upon Allah alone in your aqidah, in your tawheed, in your ibadah, in all of your religious affairs. Later on we'll see that the Shaykh said, also, fi umur ad-dunya, yani in your worldly affairs, and seeking provisions, food, clothing, shelter. Yani whatever worldly affairs you have, objectives, goals in life, also in your worldly affairs you depend completely and totally on Allah alone. So the Shaykh is saying here, from the first of those two general areas is umur al-i'tiqad. Yani in your religious beliefs, your convictions, in your religious affairs, in your worship, that you depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِحَيْثُ لَا يَلْتَفِتْ الْعَبْدِ بِقَلْبِهِ إِلَى غَيْرِ اللَّهِ. And this dependence upon Allah in the matters of aqidah, in the matters of tawheed, in the matters of deen, should be such that the heart of the abd doesn't look to anyone other than Allah. That your heart is connected to Allah alone. يعني تعلق القلب بالله سبحانه وتعالى وحده. That our heart should not be attached to anything or anyone other than Allah. So that a person will be دائماً مُعْتَمِدًا عَلَى اللَّهِ. Always, constantly, continuously dependent, reliant upon Allah. مُفَوِّضًا أَمْرَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي جَمِيعِ شُعُونِهِ. And that person will entrust their affair to Allah. يعني their, يعني every affair, every matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني their religious affairs and their worldly affairs. This is what the Shaykh basically said before he goes on to the second topic we're going to come to in a little while. And that will be, yani where the Shaykh talks about the fact that the mushrikeen didn't fall into committing shirk with Allah and kufr except for the reason that they gave the tawakkul to other than Allah. That was the cause of their falling into shirk and kufr. So before that, I want to mention a comment that the Shaykh makes in a book, Al-Muntaqa min Fatawa Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah. Yani some fatawa of the Shaykh, and these fatawa, actually some of them are mentioned at the end of the English translation. Here I just want to refer to one point that he made in one of those fatwa, which I think is extremely important, and it actually is in line with another hadith from the 40 hadith of Tawakkul. And those of you who don't know what is the 40 hadith of Tawakkul, it's a book of 40 hadith dealing with Tawakkul. But probably you haven't seen it yet. I don't think too many people have seen it. It has not yet been published. But alhamdulillah, I was fortunate to have received a copy of it before it's published. So we want to read some of those hadith as well. The Shaykh mentions one of those hadith. We want to mention it here. In the question, كيف يكون الإنسان متوكلا على الله? How does a person actualize in real life being dependent and relying upon Allah? How does that actually happen? How will a person be mutawakkilan ala Allah? And the Shaykh, he says, يكون الإنسان متوكلاً على الله بأن يصدق الاعتماد على ربه عز وجل حيث يعلم أنه سبحانه وتعالى بيده الخير وهو الذي يدبر الأمور. وهو الذي يدبر الأمور. يعني a person, a human being, will be really mutawakkil, يعني dependent, relying upon Allah, if they are يَصْدُقُ الْاِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى رَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. If they are sincere and truthful in their dependence upon Allah. If they are sincere and truthful in their dependence upon Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us sincere and truthful in our dependence upon Him. And that we yani expect good from Him. يعني حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ. In terms of we actually try to do the things that are pleasing to Allah. Because we believe that if we do good, only good will come to us from Allah. How does a person become mutawakkilan ala Allah? That they are sincere in their dependence and their reliance upon their Rabb. That they are sincere in it. It's not lip service. But actually you really have to depend upon Allah. And when you start feeling the need to depend upon something else or someone else, yani the old school people, when they came to Islam, when we came to Islam, sometimes in a difficult, trying, dangerous situation, you go back to what you used to know before. And you rely on something else other than Allah. And that is dangerous for the person who came from Jahiliyyah to Islam. That they can easily slip back into what they used to rely upon before. But here, It means what? That we are sincere in our dependence upon Allah. And when any situation or circumstance that arise, the first thing that should come to our mind is turning to Allah. Putting our trust in Allah. Relying upon Allah. Knowing that Allah is sufficient for those who depend upon Him. He said that a person is sincere in their dependence upon their Rabb, Azza wa Jalla. Such that, حيث يعلم أنه سبحانه وتعالى بيده الخير وهو الذي يدبر الأمور. Yani in such a way, yani the sincerity of their dependence upon Allah is such that that person knows with certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His hand is all khair. Yani whatever of good a person wants in this world, it's all in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person has to know that, and has to believe that, and has to be sure about that. And that's something that has to be developed by first seeking it sincerely from the heart, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance, and then actively being engaged in acknowledging, recognizing, knowing this reality that all good is in the hands of Allah in every situation in life. Acknowledging that whatever came to me of good today, yesterday, in the morning, in the evening, on the job, any place, recognizing every time that that good that came to you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not from what it appears to be. Somebody did you a favor. But really, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives credit to whoever does good, but it's all from Allah. It's all by the permission of Allah. It's all by the decree of Allah. So knowing this, that the khair is all in the hands of Allah, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُدَبِّرُ الْأُمُورِ. And Allah is the one who controls all affairs. He is the one who arranges. He is the one who manages. He is the one who decides. He is the mudabbir who controls every affair. Nobody else controls anything. Not the leaders, the rulers, the kings, the military, whatever. Allah is the one who controls every affair. Here, the Shaykh, Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says, when he said that, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His hand is all good, and that He is the one who controls all affairs, he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said to him, and this hadith is one of the hadith from the 40 hadith of Tawakkul under the chapter, At-Tawakkul mimma yanbaghi an yata'allamahu as-sighar. Yani that reliance upon Allah is from those things that are incumbent, that are befitting to be learned by the youth, the young people. This hadith is a hadith that contains instruction from the Prophet ﷺ to Abdul ibn Abbas when he was a small boy. Yani tawakkul is not something just for the grown-ups, the adults. Rather, our children need to know what is tawakkul. So the Prophet ﷺ, it's narrated in the hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi, that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, I was riding behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, and he said to me, Ya Ghulam, O young man, Inni u'allimuka kalimat, that indeed I am going to teach you some words. Naam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ihfadillah yahfadhka. Yani protect and preserve and guard the obligations that Allah has placed upon us. Yani the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah has legislated for us, guard and protect Allah's deen. Ihfadillah. Yani protect and preserve and guard the rights of Allah that He has over us. And then Allah will guard and protect and preserve you. Ihfadillah tajidhu tujahaka. Yani protect and preserve and guard the deen of Allah, you will find Allah in front of you. As it came in another narration other than At-Tirmidhi, yani amamaka. You will find Allah in front of you. And then he said, five statements. Four of them I want you to pay careful attention to. The first four. He said to him, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ. If you ask for anything, ask from Allah. Yani this statement here, yani asking for something, ask only from Allah. That is, yani that knowing that everything is in the hands of Allah, then we shouldn't depend on, rely, or have trust, or faith, or confidence in receiving good from anyone other than Allah. If you ask for anything, ask Allah. Get up in the last third of the night and ask Allah. He said, He descends in the last third of the night to Sama'a Dunya, so that whoever asks, whoever calls on Him, He responds to them. And whoever asks Him for something, He gives it to them. If you ask, ask from Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you seek help or assistance, then seek it from Allah. From Allah alone. You need help? Yani, who can help you better than Allah? If we reflect on this for a minute, we will find how far we have fallen short. How many times we found ourselves in need of help and we asked first other than Allah before we asked Allah. May Allah guide our hearts to ask from Him and Him alone. And even though it's permissible to ask the people for help in the things that they have the ability to do, but it's better to ask Allah first and foremost. And then Allah may direct someone from the creation to help you by His permission. But ask Allah first. That has to be the first thing that comes to our heart and to our mind. I need help, ask Allah. Al-Isti'ana. And this, asking Allah alone and seeking help from Allah alone, is part of tawakkul. This is part of tawakkul. That if you really rely upon Allah, when you need something, you ask Allah. When you're in trouble, you need help, you ask Allah. Then he said, and here, in what he says here, this is a part of tawakkul, and it's also, yani it joins together, it relates to us, yani the relation between a tawakkul and al qadr. And this is very, very important, to understand the relation between a tawakkul and iman bil qadr. So the Prophet ﷺ said, وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. That if the ummah, that everyone came together with the intent to benefit you with something, they would not be able to benefit you with anything except what Allah has already written for you. Here in these words, قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ is the indication of الْكِتَابَ. Yani that nothing occurs in this world except that it was already known to Allah and written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. And these are two of the four stages of al-Iman bil-Qadr. Al-Kitaba, al-Ilm wal-Kitaba, wal-Mashiyah wal-Khalq. Yani these are the elements of al-Iman bil-Qadr, that we believe that Allah has knowledge of everything before it happens. And Allah has it written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz before it happens. And that nothing happens except by the Mashiyah of Allah, except by the will of Allah. And that it only happens because Allah brings it into existence. That Allah is the only creator. There's no two creators. There's only one creator of everyone and everything that exists in this world. So here is the relation between the Qadr, Iman bil Qadr, and the Tawakkul ala Allah. Yani if all of the people in the world were to come together to benefit you in some way, whatever it is that they wanted to help you with, they would not be able to benefit you with anything except that Allah had already decreed it for you. Yani which means what? That it's still with Allah. وَإِنْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَدُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَدُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And if they all came together to harm you in some way with something, they would never be able to harm you at all with anything except that Allah has already written that upon against you. And Allah has already decreed that that's going to befall you. And this is a proof. And these two statements are proof. This is also from the Qadr, right? That قَدْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ, yani Allah has already written this against you. This is a proof that there is no benefit and there is no harm except that it's under the control of Allah. Nobody, if they all came together, they can't benefit you. They cannot harm you except that Allah has already decreed it. So knowing that nothing can happen except what Allah decreed, then whoever wants anything of good, they should seek it from Allah. Whoever wants protection from any harm, they should seek protection from Allah alone. And this is tawakkul. This is tawakkul. Knowing that every benefit and every harm is from Allah alone. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, رُفِيَتْ الْأَكْلَامُ وَجَفَّتْ الصُّحُفُ, meaning that the pens have been lifted, raised up, and the pages have dried. Meaning the matter has been decided. Allah has written, yani what is going to happen? Everything that's going to happen is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing that this is our iman in Al-Qadha should be yani a tremendous help for us to put our trust in Allah alone. Knowing that everything that is going to happen, it only happens because Allah decreed it. Because that is the will of Allah. That is the will of Allah. In another narration of this hadith, other than Tirmidhi, it has yani some important words, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read a little bit of it. He said, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَخْطَعَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ, that whatever passed you by, whatever missed you, it could not have befallen you. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ, and whatever befell you, whatever hit you, could not have missed you. And this again is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing that, how can a person put their trust in anything other than Allah? Yani it's all with Allah, and with Allah alone. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجْ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. يعني know with certainty that the victory is with patience. And that relief, there is relief with stress. A person is in difficulty, the relief is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, with hardship or difficulty, there is ease. The second definition that I want to mention for tawakkul is from Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen. Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. And this explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed is azeem. I mean, there are a lot of explanations of Kitab al-Tawheed. All of them are beneficial from the scholars and the people of Sunnah. This explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed is in two volumes, each volume about 500 pages. Naam. And it appears as though some people, may Allah reward them tremendously, actually transcribed his recorded speeches, lessons, and wrote and put that book. Yani somebody wrote that, listened to what he said and wrote it out. And then somebody typed it and printed it. Which is, yani subhanAllah, shows how some people view knowledge. Because you couldn't do that kind of work unless you really believe that this is something valuable. Unless you understand the value of knowledge. If you just try to transcribe, because I do it and quite frequently, and you try to transcribe somebody making a speech, try to just write it, it's difficult. It's not easy. It's a task. Unless a person is exceptionally gifted, it's a real task. The Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, his excellence Kitab al-Tawheed, yani the chapter entitled The Saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And it's the first ayah that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab brought in this chapter of tawakkul. That upon Allah, put your trust, if you are indeed believers. The first thing that he says is the relationship of this chapter to what preceded it, and in the chapter before it, and what came before it. He said, it is that the human being, إِذَا أَفْرَضَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِالتَّوَكُّلِ, yani if the human being singles out Allah for tawakkul, yani makes the tawakkul an act of worship that's offered to Allah alone, that they're not going to depend on anyone except Allah. If a person does that, I mean it is, and he's saying that the relationship is that this chapter is telling us that the human being, if or when he singles out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tawakkul, فَإِنَّهُ يَعْتَمِدُ عَلَيْهِ فِي حُصُولِ مَطْلُوبِهِ وَزَوَالِ مَكْرُوهِ وَلَا يَعْتَمِدْ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ. Then that person must then depend upon Allah for the achievement of whatever he's seeking and for yani the removal of whatever he dislikes. And then he must depend, and then he must not depend on anyone other than Allah. Then he gives the definition of tawakkul. And there are some further comments. I'm not going to read all of it because it's quite lengthy. But I'm going to read the definition and a few of the comments that he made related to the definition, and then we'll go on. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, At-tawakkul, huwa al-i'timad ala Allah. This is his definition of tawakkul. Huwa al-i'timad ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fi husool al-matloob wa dafa'i al-makroo. Ma thiqati bihi wa fi'li al-asbab al-ma'adhoon fiha. That's his definition. وَهَذَا أَقْرَبُ تَعْرِيفٍ لَهُ And he said, يعني the Shaykh said, and this is the nearest, يعني the closest, the best definition, in his view, for التوكل. Three things. هُوَ الْاِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى That a person puts, makes their dependence, their reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فِي حُصُولَ الْمَتْلُوبِ In, يعني obtaining the desired thing that you want, وَدَفَعِ الْمَكْرُوهِ And in repulsing the thing that you dislike. That a person puts their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two things. To achieve whatever good you desire and to repulse whatever you dislike and you don't want yani to harm you. The second thing he said, مَا ثِقَتِي بِهِ Yani that this dependence upon Allah is coupled with الثِقَ بِاللَّهِ having complete confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, when you put your trust in Allah, you are confident that the goal is going to be achieved. Yani, outside of Islam, probably in Jahiliyyah, some of us used to say, I knew someone, I had complete trust in him. I know he's not going to run away. If something went down, he's there. If I need help, he's coming. This thiqa really belongs to Allah alone. Allah is the only one that can really come through, that can fulfill whatever it is. He's the only one. So he, in his definition, he said, ma'a, yani the dependence on Allah, ma'a thiqa bihi, having confidence. Not only you depend upon Him, you rely upon Him, but now you have confidence. That is going to happen. وَفِعْلِ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمَأَذُونَ فِيهَا وَفِعْلِ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمَأَذُونِ فِيهَا And then that you utilize the means, the permissible means, يعني concerning that matter. الأسباب المأذون فيها يعني الأسباب الشرعية That then you utilize the means that Allah has allowed from what Allah has legislated. It means that if you are in need of something, dire need of something, tremendously difficult situation, utilize the means to achieve your goal from what Allah has allowed. Not by any means necessary. The older people know about by any means necessary. That was the famous statement from Malcolm X. Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz. May Allah have mercy upon him. By any means necessary. In Islam, we don't believe in by any means necessary. I mean, that was just something, as coming into Islam, we just didn't know any better. But we say, utilize the means. Put your trust in Allah. Have confidence in Allah and then utilize what Allah has made lawful. Not what Allah made unlawful. No matter how dire situation you're in, yani utilize the means that Allah has made lawful. And if a person is in some kind of situation that they have no other option and they didn't, yani that's most of us, didn't have yani the tawakkul of the wife of Ibrahim when he left her in the desert. And she said to him when he left her in the desert with no means and no company and nothing, Allahu amaraka bihada? Is it Allah who has commanded you with this? And you leaving me here like this by myself? Has Allah ordered you with this? When he told her, yes, I'm good then. She was good. We don't have that kind of tawakkul. For sure, I don't want to say we because then I'm talking about you. I don't know what you have. But me, most people don't have that kind of tawakkul. So when a person doesn't have that, perhaps they might feel compelled even to do something that Allah didn't allow. And maybe Allah will excuse them. Allah is pardoning and forgiving. But it is better that a person put their trust totally in Allah alone. And Allah is sufficient for those who believe. And may Allah yani pardon and overlook our shortcomings. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says what? Three things. Tawakkul is i'timad ala Allah. putting your total dependence on Allah, مَا ثِقَ بِهِ, having confidence in Him once you put your trust in Him, and then utilizing the necessary means. Yani you must utilize the necessary means. Yani the beneficial means, the means that Allah has made lawful, that can yani make that thing happen. Yani Allah has made it known to us that there are certain things if you... Yani Allah is the one who controls the cause and the effect. So He has made this relationship between things, there is cause and effect, that Allah decreed. And Allah, He can cancel that if He wills. He made fire to burn. It's the cause of things burning. If you put something in the fire, it burns. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can neutralize that, as we well know. So, knowing that the nature of things, that there is the cause and effect relationship between things, knowing that Allah is the one who decreed this to be like this, Allah is the one who legislated certain things to be lawful and useful to bring about a certain objective, then we utilize those means. But we have to be careful that when we utilize those lawful means, those beneficial means that may be known to bring about a certain result, we must know that that, what they call it, COVID-19 vaccination, however much they profess it to be, its efficacy, yani is only effective if Allah makes it effective. It doesn't have any ability to do anything. Medicine, doctors, all that have no ability to do anything at all. Allah is al-Shafi. Allah, He is the only one who heals. He is al-Tabib, as the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith. La shifa illa shifa'uka. There is absolutely no healing, no cure except your cure, ya Allah. So when a person knows that, we have to be careful that we utilize these means, but we don't put our trust. We don't depend, we don't rely upon the means. We don't feel like, alhamdulillah, I got this, I'm going to be good now. No, you're only going to be good if Allah yani decrees that, if Allah makes it like that. Be careful that we don't have so much trust in this doctor. He's the best doctor, he's the best surgeon in the whole world. Yeah? But if he got sick, he can't heal himself. Unless Allah allows. Yani the doctors can't heal themselves. Unless Allah allows. Don't have no trust in the doctors. And I don't mean that in the sense that don't go to a doctor. I mean, put your trust in Allah alone. Go to the doctor if you need to. May Allah save me from ever having the need to go to a doctor. But if we have to go, yani, put our trust in Allah. After this, the Shaykh says, and I know the time is running on us. I'm, yani, Allah musta'an. It's okay, yani, this is important, right? Because this is the definition that we want to understand thoroughly. The Shaykh says, after this definition, he said, وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ أَمْرَيْنِ. That is essential that there be two matters. الأول أن يكون الاعتماد على الله اعتمادا صادقا حقيقيا. Yani the first one is that your dependence on Allah must be a dependence that is صادقا, truthful, sincere, and حقيقيا. It has to be real. Real dependence upon Allah. Sincere dependence upon Allah. Otherwise, if a person claims that they're depending on Allah and they're really not, there's no great benefit in that. The second thing he said, وَالثَّانِي فِعْلُ وَالْأَسْبَابَ الْمَأْذُونَ فِيهَا. That after a person has sincere, real dependence upon Allah, that they then utilize the permissible means to achieve their goal, to bring about some benefit or to remove some harm. Then they utilize the means. And that's the general rule. And if there are no means to utilize, yani material, physical means, there's always dua. There's always dua. And inshallah, in the 40 hadith of Tawakkul, inshallah, we're going to see some of those hadith that bring like real life examples. Real life examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the person who depends upon Him. With sincere dependence. Even if there are no means to utilize, Allah is sufficient for the one who depends upon Him. So then I'll just quickly mention what he said after that, not to the end of it, but just the final thing that I'll mention here. So whoever places most of their dependence on the asbab, the causes or the means, and if they depend mostly on the means, their tawakkul ala Allah will be defective. And this will be harmful to the kifayatillah, yani the sufficiency of Allah. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ possible. And whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for them. That sufficiency of Allah will be harmed if a person, what? Puts too much dependence, reliance, trust on the asbab. Rather, utilize the asbab, but put your trust in Allah alone. Whoever puts most of their dependence on the means, their tawakkul, yani, will be defective. And this will harm the sufficiency of Allah for them. Yani, Allah being sufficient for them. It is as though that person has made the sabab, the cause or the means alone, the umda, the thing, the foundation that they are relying upon to achieve whatever they desire or to remove whatever they dislike. And this is something we have to look at ourselves in. Are we really, yani, putting dependence on the means, or are we depending upon Allah? I believe, and Allah knows best, this is not an easy affair. But it's of the greatest importance. And it's something that a person has to strive for and ask Allah's help in. So whoever, likewise he said, secondly, whoever makes their dependence upon Allah to the exclusion of utilizing the means, فَقَدْ تَعَنَا فِي حِكْمَةِ اللَّهِ, then this person has, يعني, and he is as though they are challenging the wisdom of Allah. In Allah making means, in Allah placing before us means to achieve the goal, and then I'm not going to use those means. This, the effect between the cause, yani the relation between the cause and effect is from the wisdom of Allah. That Allah has made certain things to bring about certain effects. And then we should utilize that. And this is because, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for everything a sabab through which it can be achieved. So whoever relies upon Allah, a reliance that is mujarrad, yani devoid of the asbab, then this is like challenging the wisdom of Allah. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ حَكِيمٌ يَرْبُطُ الْأَسْبَابِ بِمُسَبِّبَاتِهَا. Because Allah is wise, and He joins, connects between the cause and the effect. He has made it like that, and therefore we should accept it. And that's like the person who puts their dependence upon Allah to achieve a child, and they don't get married. And then the Shaykh has a long discussion about this. We're going to stop here, inshallah. Yani, everybody knows, the Muslims we're talking about, right? Everybody knows that if you want to have children, you have to get married. Right, Abdul Hadi? He had to get married. I remember when he was saying, I got to get married. MashaAllah, now he got married, and he has children. Allahu Akbar. When did you have your first child?
6 months ago.
6 months ago. See, I don't even know about it.
Allahu
Akbar. Oh, you did? Okay. That means that I'm forgetful. I always excuse myself. I forget too much. Allahu Akbar. After this, the third definition that we will mention for tawakkul is the definition of Al-Imam Abdurrahman Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his explanation of Kitab Al-Tawheed. Al-Qawl Al-Sadid, the Sharh of Kitab Al-Tawheed. Al-Imam Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, also has a tremendous explanation of tawakkul and some brief comments as well. And we're almost at the end of our time. So let me just say here, in case I forget, that the questions in the study guide, forget about them. And if we didn't reach them, no problem, don't worry. We'll like redo it. Imam Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, has a tremendous, tremendous, brief, concise, yani full of benefit explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. Very, very brief. Yani it's not 1,000 pages, like his student, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. It's very brief, but it's filled with benefit. Whoever reads it will find comfort and contentment and joy in what they find, what he has written here. Tremendous, tremendous, azeem. And it's like amazing when you read it. You can't believe that he just, in these few words, put all of this in there. So he says, rahimahullah, the chapter, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So upon Allah, put your trust, your dependence, your reliance, if indeed you are true believers. He said, التوكل على الله من أعظم واجبات التوحيد والإيمان. This is the first thing he said. That التوكل على الله is from the greatest, the most magnificent of all of the obligations of Tawheed and Iman. Yani Tawheed and Iman have obligations. We have obligations in reference to the Tawheed and Iman. And from the greatest of them is that a person puts their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. وَبِحَسَبِ قُوَّةِ التَّوَكُّلِ الْعَبْدِ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَقْوَى إِمَانُهُ وَيَتِمُّ تَوْهِيدُهُ. So a person's iman will be strengthened and their tawheed will be completed in accordance with or depending upon the strength of the tawakkul of that person on Allah. Yani to the extent that you put your trust in Allah, to that extent your iman will be strengthened and your tawheed will be completed. Yani it will be incomplete without that. But the extent of its perfection and the extent of the strength of your iman is dependent upon your tawakkul ala Allah. Then he says, the abd is compelled to put their trust in Allah. Yani, التوكل على الله والاستعانة به في كل ما يريد فعله أو تركه من أمور دينه ودنياه. يعني والعبد مضطر إلى التوكل على الله. Every human being is compelled to depend upon Allah والاستعانة به and to seek help from Him. And here I want to note that الاستعانة يعني as another word that we're going to add to the elements of التوكل. يعني الاعتماد على الله والثقة بالله والاستعانة بالله. That a person seeks help. And this came again in, I'm looking at the Imam because mashallah, he gives so many benefits every time about Surah Al-Fatiha. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. That whatever we intended to offer to Allah alone as worship, we cannot be successful in doing it unless we ask Him for help. So this is important. In tawakkul, a person will not have tawakkul ala Allah in the way that is desired, except that they ask for help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh said, every one of us is compelled to put our reliance upon Allah and to seek help from Him in everything that one intends to do or to not do. Whether in the affairs of one's deen or one's dunya. Yani in your religious affairs and in your worldly affairs. Everything that you want to do or not do, yani you have to depend upon Allah and ask help from Allah in order to be successful in doing it. In your religious affairs and in your worldly affairs. Yani you want to do better on your job, you have to depend upon Allah. You want to be better in your worship, you have to depend upon Allah. You want your aqidah to be correct. Yani what's more important than that? Because no matter what you do, if your foundation is not correct, everything else is crumbling. But you have to depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh says, and this is the core of what we want to say here, وَحَقِيقَةُ التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The reality of التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. What is the reality of التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ? Number one, أَنْ يَعْلَمَ الْعَبْدُ أَنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ. These are tremendous powerful statements. Number one, the person must know. So there's knowledge here. Yani tawakkul, the reality of tawakkul is that a person has ilm. They must know that al-amra kullahu lillah, that the affair, all of it belongs to Allah. Allah is the only one who controls everything in existence. It all is with Allah. He has power over everything and no one has power over anything outside of the power of Allah. That's why we say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The second thing, وَأَنَّهُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهَ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. The person must know that whatever Allah willed, will be. And whatever He did not will, will not be. The haqiqah, the reality of tawakkul. Knowing that the whole of the affair is with Allah. And that whatever Allah wills is going to happen, and whatever He doesn't will is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Even if they all came together, the whole of the ummah, right? Came together to benefit you with something, to harm you with something, not going to happen. Unless it's in accordance with the will of Allah. What Allah had decreed, what Allah had written for you or against you. Number three, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ النَّافِعُ الدَّارُّ الْمُعْتِي الْمَانِعُ. That Allah, He, indeed, He said, وَأَنَّهُ يعني هُوَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the nafi', the one who gives benefit. And He is the one who harms. And He is the one who gives. And He is the one who withholds. And the Prophet ﷺ used to say, and that's the supplication, any that we need, our hearts in the need of repetition, contemplation, reflection. Allahumma la mania lima, huh? Lima atat. Wala, Allahumma la mania lima atayta. Wala mu'tiya lima mana'ata. That there's no one who can withhold what Allah has given, what you have given, Allah. And there's no one who can give what you, Allah, withhold. So this is the third point, right? That Allah is the one who benefits, and He's the one who harms, and He's the one who gives, and He's the one who withholds. And fourthly he said, وَأَنَّهُ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And there's no strength and there's no power. Yani to bring about any good or to prevent any harm, to achieve anything, it's all with Allah. So this is the first aspect of حقيقة التوكل. To know that the whole of the affair is with Allah, and that whatever He wills be, will be, and whatever He doesn't will not be, and that He is the one who benefits, and He is the one who harms, and He is the one who gives, and He is the one who withholds, and that there is no strength or no power in the heavens and the earth, in the creation, except that which is with Allah. Then he says, وَبَعْدَ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ. So after a person has this knowledge, after you know this, and this is something, brothers, I know from experience that you have to keep repeating these words over and over and over again. That's why we have adhkar al-sabah wal-masa'. That's why we have yani ad'iyah that the Prophet ﷺ has given to us for every situation and circumstance. When you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you leave your house, when you come and you go in the bathroom, when you eat, when you finish, when you get dressed. All of that is to remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation or circumstance. The person who is engaged, yani consciously reflecting upon the meaning of these words, is the person that will benefit from this. Yani that when a person knows that the whole of the affair is with Allah and is reminded of it every day, all the time. So when something happens, it's not going to be something in the back of your mind that has dust on it, that you have to pull out and try to find. You're going to immediately know that the affair is with Allah. Allah is the only one who can benefit. Allah is the only one who can harm. Allah is the only one who gives. Allah is the only one who holds. That everything is according to the Mashiach of Allah. This is how yani the Qadr, Iman and Qadr, is connected to a tawakkul. That we know from the Qadr that everything is from the knowledge of Allah before it came into existence, that He had recorded Allah al-Mahfud, and that He wills, whatever He wills will be, and whatever He doesn't will not be, and that He is the one who brings it into existence. Knowing that, having that knowledge, is what enables a person to put their trust totally in Allah alone. And not worry after that. And have confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do it. No matter what situation a person is in. So he said, so after this knowledge, يَعْتَمِدُ بِقَلْبِهِ عَلَى رَبِّهِ فِي جَلْبْ مُصَالِ دِينِهِ وَدُنْيَاهُ وَفِي دَفْعَ الْمَضَارُ. So after a person has this knowledge, then he puts his trust, his dependence that's in his heart, on his Rabb, to obtain the beneficial things in his deen and in his dunya, and in his religious life and in his worldly life. Whatever benefits he's seeking, his heart is connected to dependence upon Allah. And also in repulsing or pushing back any harm. Then he said, وَيَثِقُ غَايَةُ الْوُثُوقِ بِرَبِّهِ فِي حُصُولِ مَتْلُوبِهِ. And then after he puts his trust, his heart being connected to Allah, to bring about any benefit or to repulse any harm, then he has complete, total confidence in his Rabb to achieve that which is desired. There's no doubt after that. And then he says, the third thing, the first one is i'timad, after knowledge, putting your trust in Allah alone, then having confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to achieve the goal. Then he said, وَهُوَ مَا هَذَا بَادِرٌ جُهَدَهُ فِي فِعْلِ الْأَسْبَابِ النَّافِيَةِ. In addition to this, along with this, putting your trust in Allah totally and having complete confidence in Allah in achieving the goal, the person in addition to that exerts oneself, makes every effort to utilize al-asbab al-nafiyah, the beneficial means to achieve the goal. Yani you put your trust in Allah to do whatever it is, to bring about some good or to prevent some harm, and you have confidence, complete confidence that Allah is able to achieve it, and that He will achieve it for you.
But in addition to that, along with that, you still are supposed to do something. You are supposed to utilize the beneficial means from what Allah has allowed, what He has made lawful, what He has legislated. So there's i'timad on Allah, and then there's al-thiqa billahi, having confidence, and then there's yani al-akhth bil-asbab, taking hold of and utilizing the necessary means, the beneficial means from what Allah has legislated. And then the shaykh closes, and perhaps we'll close with this. Have to. وَمَتَى إِسْتَدَامَ الْعَبْدُ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ. So whenever, or as long as a person maintains this knowledge, the knowledge of what? The knowledge that the whole of the affair is with Allah, and that everything is according to the will of Allah, and that Allah is the one who benefits and harms and gives and withholds, and that there is no strength or any power to do anything except with Allah. As long as a person maintains, constantly is engaged with this consciousness and this knowledge, وَهَذَا الْاِعْتِمَادِ, and this dependence upon Allah, وَالثِّقَ, and this confidence in Allah, فَهُوَ الْمُتَوَكِّلُ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقِيقَةً. This person then is the one who is dependent upon Allah in reality. Yani the person who maintains this consciousness that everything is with Allah. And then they depend upon Him completely, totally. And they have confidence in Him. This is the one, yani, who is in reality putting their dependence on Allah. The Shaykh said, this person should receive the glad tidings of the kifayatillah lahu wa wa'adihi lilmutawakkilin. Should receive the good news, the glad tidings, that Allah will be sufficient for them. And the glad tidings of the promise of Allah for those who put their trust in Him. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And that's the promise of Allah. And the promise of Allah is true. And the promise of Allah is true. So a person should be happy to know that Allah will be sufficient for them. And to know that Allah has promised that He will take care of your needs. He will suffice your needs, whatever they might be. If you depend upon Him, يعني اعتمادا صادقا حقيقيا, يعني real, true, sincere dependence upon Allah alone. Then the Shaykh says, and whenever, يعني ومتى أُلِّكَ ذَلِكَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ الشِّرْكِ. And whenever a person connects their heart to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he put their dependence and their trust and their confidence in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is shirk. وَمَنْ تَوَكَّلَ عَلَى غَيْرِ اللَّهِ وَتَعَلَّكَ بِهِ وُقِلَ إِلَيْهِ وَخَابَ أَمَلَهُ. So whoever, yani, puts their trust in other than Allah, depends or relies upon other than Allah, and their heart is attached to other than Allah, then they will be left to that which they have, yani, attached themselves to, and their hopes will be frustrated. They will be disappointed. They will not achieve. After this, and we're going to stop here for sure. We're going to stop here. But after this, the Shaykh talks about the reason why, how the mushrikeen fell into shirk billahi ta'ala. And it was because of their dependence on other than Allah. So we're going to talk about that inshallah next week. And what the Shaykh says concerning the ayat, the first ayat that he mentions. And then something a little bit further concerning the second aspect in which a person should put their trust in Allah, yani in their umur al-deen and in the umur al-dunya. Naam. Yeah, Mustafa, one question for you, one question for somebody else. unless everybody else says we give it to Mustafa. Fadl, go ahead.
The first question, is it from the side of a person's tawakkul that he is efficient if he is faced with a situation and then he chooses an option that he may be disliked? Or, for example, if he is faced with a situation he has to eat pork when he has no food, is it a sign his tawakkul is deficient because knowing that Allah is the provider, knowing that Allah is the side of the affair, if he chooses to eat the pork?
Yani if a person is compelled by necessity to do something that Allah has not permitted, then if it's by necessity, then it's permissible. But if a person doesn't do that, then that would be obviously better. But it's permissible. It's not a blame on the person. That's not a blame on the person. Any case, I want to close now. I'm sorry. Yeah. Inshallah, whoever the brothers, if you're not traveling immediately, inshallah, we can sit after Maghrib. And if you're not traveling immediately, we can get permission from the Imam and the security to sit in the masjid after Isha, even though the masjid normally closed after Isha. I just want to mention the hadith of the man who was visiting his brother in another place, and Allah sent an angel to him along the road and asked him, "Where are you going? Yani, what do you want to do?" He said, "I'm going to visit a brother of mine in this particular village." He said, "Do you have some favor that you expect some return for from him?" He said, "No. Nothing except that I'm visiting him because I love him for the sake of Allah." And the angel said to him, "فَإِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَبَّكَ كَمَا أَحْبَبْتَهُ فِيهِ." Yani, I'm the messenger of Allah, a messenger from Allah, an angel, to you, to inform you that Allah has loved you just as you have loved that person that you went to visit for his sake. Yani, just as you loved him for the sake of Allah. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grant his love to those brothers who came here from a long distance. And inshallah, for the sake of Allah, that Allah rewards you for that. Now, JazakAllah khair. Barakallahu fiqh. SubhanakAllahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.